Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
That's right. We're riding with the King, Sports Radio 94, WIP. Joe Giglio with you and Howard Eskin. He's with us, as always, brought to you by Xfinity Philadelphia's fastest internet and the sponsor of our Xfinity X1 Lounge. And I believe Howard is on special location tonight. Howard, how are we doing?
I am just sensational. Yeah, it's a special location, so I can see one of the greatest players that we will see in our lifetime in NBA history, who plays for the other team playing the Sixers tonight.
Luka?
Would you guess that would be the one?
Yes, I would guess. You're going to see your boy Luka tonight. Tonight's a fun game, Howard. We get the Sixers and the Mavericks tonight.
I know. I wanted to see them. They only once, even they want to come once every year anyway, so I saw it, and the technology is what it is, and it's great, so I figured, well, I can do the show with you from down here, and I get a chance to see him when we're done, and I'll watch him and watch him hit some threes, watch him have assists, watch him do all the things that great players do, and oddly enough, watch a guard that shoots from beyond 6 or 7 feet. It's a strange thing to see here.
You'll be watching a pair of all-star guards tonight, right? Like your boy Ben Simmons and Luka, both all-star guards right now.
Yeah, Ben. Can you put Ben in the same class as Luka?
No, we can't, okay. But they are both all-stars. Okay. All right, 215-592-9494. We got a lot to get into here, Howard. We'll get to the game. We'll end with talking about the game tonight matchup here.
Yeah.
But, Howard, so obviously we're in a period here of transition here for the Eagles, and we got an offseason to talk about and free agency and trades and the draft. But, Howard, a lot of talk today on WIP about Howie Roseman. I mean, you've been here and have observed and covered this guy his entire career with the Eagles. And here's where I'm at with Howie, Howard. It feels like everyone now just believes he's a bad general manager. And I'm not there. I don't believe Howie Roseman is a bad GM. Like, has he had great drafts the last couple of years or even good ones? He hasn't. He's missed on way too many picks. But, like, there's a sense out there, it feels like, Howard, in the fan base that Howie is just in over his head and he can't fix this. What do you think about Howie?
Well, he's done, there's no question, he's done some good things. And people have given him a lot of credit for the cap, and he's got help with that. There's a guy named Jake Rosenberg in there, which I understand helps a lot with the cap. And they work together with it. And he's good with those things. But you still have to make good decisions. You have to make good draft picks, and there's been some good ones. But the reason this team is where they are right now, and the reason this team, if they get 8 wins this year, and I hope they get 12 wins, but, you know, that's not realistic. If they get 8 wins this year, that would be a really good year. But I just don't think this team's good enough because although you can look at Miles Sanders and Dallas Goedert as picks that he's made, but then you can look at the other picks that he's made. I'm not ready to judge Jalen Reagor yet. However, he wasn't the best pick at that spot. Jalen Hurts, we don't know yet, but there's a lot of people who know more than we do. I don't know if they know more than Howie, that were shocked to see the Eagles take Jalen Hurts, not just that he was a quarterback, but at that position in the second round, because most people didn't have him graded that high. So we'll see, and there's time for him to develop as well. But also there's decisions with free agents. Was Hargrave the right decision? Malik Jackson, who I don't think is going to be back, was he, even though he's got a year, they'll get rid of that year. He won't be back. Was that a good decision? The answer with that was no. And then you start looking at some of the other decisions he made. Darius Slay, who we all went crazy and said, what a great trade. You know, sometimes you got to watch him on the field. He was destroyed by corners this year. Now, destroyed might be a strong word. He did not have a good year. And part of the problem is maybe his own stubbornness. He's a tough guy, and he played hurt a lot of times. But his own stubbornness to not accept help with some of the best wide receivers in the league. Sometimes you got to get help. You can't be that guy knowing that you need some help to shut people down. So now he's 30 years old, and now you're questioning him. I'm not ready to give up on him. But when you look at the signings and you look at the draft picks over the last couple of years, Joe, I think there has to be questions, and I think maybe that's what people are questioning. You know, there's no question, and this is one thing he tried to do. They had a good core that were older, and they tried to extend that good team with supplementing it with free agent signings, which you win with draft picks. You don't win with free agents. The draft picks are the core of your team. And he tried to supplement that to keep that run of that good football team going, and it just didn't work. So you really have to be judged on that. In the end, has he made some good decisions? Absolutely. Has he made some poor decisions? You know, that's part of the life of a general manager. But I guess maybe one of the worst ones is he signs Carson Wentz, and then a year later he trades him. So you've got to be patient. Now, it was a good number when they signed him, and I think I don't think you agreed with it.
I didn't.
That it was a
no, but no, I understood what they were trying to do. They wanted to get ahead of the market, right? And if he turned out to be a good quarterback, it would have been a good contract.
And I heard that a general manager from Buffalo, Brandon Bean, who I've met a few times, I think he's a pretty sharp guy. People are asking him now, and I've heard him talk about it, whether he's going to sign Josh Allen, because now this is the first year he can do it.
Yeah.
I would almost bet that won't happen, because you have the ability to get another sample year. The numbers are always going to go up. So if the guy's good, you're going to pay him. But you're going to make sure when you pay him that big number that he is the right guy.
You got to know. Otherwise, look, the Rams had the situation with Goff, here with the
with
Eagles.
Goff.
Yeah, if you don't know, you're going to be in trouble over it. Here's what I look at when it comes to Howie.
So it's
Howard.
A mixed bag. Well, what I'm
it
trying
is.
To say
is
it's a mixed bag.
No, that's it. I mean, he was probably never as good as we thought he was 3 years ago, and he's not as bad as he looks right now. Here's the one thing about Howie I do feel good about, Howard, and it's not the drafting part, and they got to be better there. But, like, they've been in this situation similar to now a couple times, after Chip left and after Andy left. Like, it wasn't like we weren't talking about how good those teams were. They were 4-12, and then the Chip year, they had all those bad contracts. And Howie Roseman helped get them out of it. Like, I think that this kind of offseason, this is what he does best. He'll get rid of bad contracts. He'll move money around. This is probably when he's at his best, what they need him to do right now.
Well, he better be at his best. That's the other thing. You know, we haven't even looked at the coaches. I don't think he was... I don't think he wanted Doug Peterson. I think he wanted that guy from New York. What was it, McAdoo?
Ben McAdoo, they liked him, yeah, which was he was a bad coach.
Yeah, and then Coughlin resigned, and the Eagles were lucky that the Giants, and he decided he was going to go back there. But I think he was all but set to come here with the Eagles, and he was a total stiff. So, you know, and Chip Kelly, I think, was Howie. I think Jeffrey really liked him, too. But I think Howie was the push behind that. And at first we thought he was good, but then we realized that as a pro coach he was not. But so it's not just the players, but this is an extremely important year for Howie in the draft. You're going to have good positions for picks. You got an extra third rounder. Who knows? You might get a sixth or seventh rounder for some other things you might move around. So he's going to have a lot of picks, and he's got to be successful. I would say, and a good percentage is 55 to 58. 58% is high. 55% is good, but the more the merrier, so you have a better chance to have good picks. But this is a really important year for Howie Roseman. And if he's going to show people he's good enough, he's going to have to do it in this draft.
Yeah, well, it's crucial. They have to. 215-592-9494. All right, Howard, there's one thing about the Eagles right now that we can all say, all right, that's a positive, and it's the division right now is not very good. So no matter where they're at, they're probably not that far from getting, you know, competitive again in the NFCs. The Giants don't have a quarterback. We'll see how good they can get. Washington I like, but they don't have a quarterback. And Dallas has a whole bunch of issues, and they still haven't signed Dak Prescott. So that's a good thing for the Eagles, Howard. But today, and I'm sure you saw the rumors, today Russell Wilson and the Seahawks, that marriage looks like it's on very shaky ground, and his list of teams he would go to include the Dallas Cowboys. Howard, I'm worried. If the Dallas Cowboys land Russell Wilson, the Eagles are in trouble here.
But here's the way I'm going to look at that. The Eagles are in trouble for this year because but they're not – I mean, they'll be in a playoff hunt because the division's so bad. If Washington ever gets a quarterback, watch out for them too because their defense is really good and they have a very, very good head coach. But Dallas will be a mess because they're going to have to give up multiple number ones. So they're going to hurt themselves down the line. And I think Russell Wilson is now a fraud as a person. Well, he wants to stay in Seattle, but he'll accept trades to these teams. He's kind of pushed it. And he's been hit so many times. If you look at his numbers over, they've declined the last couple of years because he's not as fast and he's been hit a lot. I'm okay. The Cowboys will be better with Russell Wilson this year rather than Dak Prescott, but that will hurt them in the future. I don't know how much Russell Wilson's got left because the Cowboys now, their offensive line is still a little bit of a mess. Their defense is a mess, and they're going to cost themselves some number one picks. So I'm going to take the other side of this, Joe, just because I've been thinking about this all day. Russell Wilson is probably a nice guy, and I've only met him briefly at games a couple of times. However, you know, this nonsense, well, yeah, I want to stay in Seattle, but and then he whispers to him, but trade me. I got to get out of here. That's what he's trying to do. As far as his ability, it's declining. So
but
I'm
he's still
okay
a great, still a great player. Like he's still a. I mean, I would
still
say,
he's still a very good quarterback. Yes.
I would say no question. He's still a top five or six quarterback in the NFL. He's still up there with Oh yes,
no.
Howard, come on.
Okay, I'm gonna ask you right now.
Give me six quarterbacks that are better. You can't.
Well, I'm gonna give you Aaron Rodgers.
Okay.
I'm gonna give you Tom Brady.
All right.
I'm going to give you, and you're going to be, and it may not necessarily be third, but it's hard to think about them right now. I'm going to give you Josh Allen.
Okay, accept that. I'll accept because he had a great year. I'll accept that. Okay.
Okay, I'm going to give you Josh Allen. Now I'm just trying to think of the other nobody in the Eagles division.
See, you're running thin. He's a great quarterback. I'll throw Deshaun Watson in there because he's younger.
Okay, Deshaun Watson.
Okay.
I'm going to tell you Matthew Stafford.
No question.
Well, wait a minute. You had him really high before.
Yeah, he's a good quarterback.
Year,
he's not as good as Russell Wilson.
This year, I'm going to tell you this year, I think he's going to have a terrific year. Here's the question. Would I rather have Matthew Stafford this year or Russell Wilson?
Russell Wilson.
I'd rather have Matthew Stafford because I know he's going to be successful there. Russell Wilson, all those years, did not have good red zone numbers, but his defense would always, those years that they were really good, his defense always gave him short fields. That's not to say that he wasn't a terrific and great quarterback, but I'm going to start looking through. Now you're going to force me to look through all these teams, and I'm going to find quarterbacks and he's not going to be in the top six. There's just no way.
Well, wait a second. I understand that, and I agree with you, that when he was younger, his defense carried the load. Now his defense is not as good as it used to be. But he's never won less than 9 games ever in his NFL career. He's had a winning record every single year. That's pretty amazing.
I'm going to take and he's coming off an injury. But Joe Burrow, I'm going to take him. With Cincinnati.
We don't even know when he's going to play again.
Yeah, but what I saw of him, he was pretty good.
I think he's going to be a very good quarterback. But
okay. Patrick Mahomes.
Mahomes, obviously.
I will take Mahomes.
Yeah, I'll take Mahomes too.
Okay, I'm going to tell you,
who you got?
Right now that I'm going to take Justin Herbert over Russell Wilson this year.
Justin Herbert has a very bright future. I can't put him there yet. I mean, he was a rookie. It's
one
year.
You don't want to put him there yet.
Well, I can't.
And, of course, I mentioned Aaron Rodgers. Kirk Cousins, I think, is a fraud. I think he's a total fraud. And Matt Ryan, his better years are behind him, and I agree. He had his chance for the Super Bowl, and his offense coordinator screwed that up.
I mean, listen, Russell Wilson had a 68.8 completion percentage and 40 touchdowns.
I'll tell you what, he's probably seventh on my list or eighth.
Oh, he's the top five or six quarterback. Howard, I'm just worried. If Dallas gets him, this is a big deal. I look at it,
You're
I'm
scared,
like,
get a dog.
I am scared. I have a dog already, and I came in here and I was still upset. Look, here's the thing. We look at the NFC East, and I think there's a glimmer of hope for the Eagles because we know none of these teams are really any good. So if the Eagles can get it together in a year or so, why not? You know, they could compete again for this division. But if Russell Wilson goes there, Howard, we got problems.
No, because Dallas is not going to – they're going to lose at least two number one picks because Jerry Jones is so foolish and so stupid. He's a now guy, and he's going to cost himself some number one picks, and they need a lot of help. That offensive line's not very good. So how do you think Russell Wilson's going to hold up with that offensive line?
Well, he didn't have a great one in Seattle. He runs around and he makes plays.
He doesn't run around as well. That's my point.
Well, I agree. I'm just saying, Howard, it's
we'll
bad
see.
News.
I'm hoping he goes to Dallas because I
am too because it'd be fun to watch. Eagles and the Cowboys
yes.
game.
Well, yeah, because then the Eagles beat the Cowboys. I don't know where the first game will be. Wherever the first game is, that team will win whoever is home. But the Eagles will split with the Cowboys, and Russell Wilson will not have a great game. Hey, when he played the Eagles, I mean, think about this. They only won what they won. The last two times they won, was it 17-9? 17 points? They only scored, I think the last two times they both scored, both games, they only scored 17 points. He didn't blow me away in those games. Not at all.
No, he didn't. Yeah. But he always beats the Eagles. He always beats the Eagles. No matter whether or not blows them away.
They lost Wentz early in the game.
No, but I mean in his career. Have the Eagles ever beaten Russell Wilson? I don't think they've beaten him ever. I can't remember one game where they've beaten the Seahawks since he got drafted. I don't think they've ever beaten this guy, Harry.
Well, they don't play.
And you want him in the division?
Don't play that much. Yeah, I want him in the division. I want it. I want it bad.
Oh, you're going to regret that.
This is another reason to hate the Cowboys and watch the Eagles. Those games are going to be off the charts.
Well, I agree on that.
That's what I want to see. And I'm giving up this year. You know, I'm giving up for a team, let's just say, to make a deep run in the playoffs. They're not going to make a deep run in the playoffs. But could they be exciting? Yes. Could they upset some teams? Everybody does. Yes. Will Jalen Hurts be good enough? We'll find out. But with all that, and if the Cowboys, I don't want Dak Prescott. He's a fraud, too. And Russell Wilson's better than Dak Prescott. But knowing the Cowboys are going to have to give up a lot of their future, I want it badly. Badly.
Well, you might get it because if he pushes his way out of there, you know Dallas is going to offer a ton for him. Like quarterbacks like that don't get traded very often, so it will be an unprecedented thing. And apparently, it's the Bears, it's the Raiders, Saints, Cowboys. But Howard, it goes to the thing we were talking about a couple weeks ago. These quarterbacks now are dictating the NFL. Watson, Wilson.
I know.
It's crazy.
It's the NBA. The NFL's becoming the NBA. It's really a joke. When you sign those big contracts, you committed to that team because the team has to commit to you. Now, people say, well, their contracts aren't guaranteed. They got so much upfront money that it hurts so much when you trade a player against their cap, it penalizes them. So it kind of forces teams to keep a player who you sign a big contract to because then you get hurt with your cap numbers. So now, once they sign that big contract, hey, they want to give up that contract, hey, we'll trade you, but you've got to, you know, void your contract so we don't get hurt with the cap number, but you don't have to take a trade unless you get the money that you want. And I would do that, but they won't do that because then they'd have to give back some money. Oh, no, why would you want to do that? It sickens me that NFL quarterbacks, and it's not just the quarterbacks now, that are dictating their exit after they sign big contracts, after. They want the big contract first, and that's where I have a problem.
They want the money, and then they want out. It is a problem. 215-592-9494. We'll come back. Your phone calls, a Sixers trade rumor, which we have to talk about, and the Phillies starting up spring training. That's coming up on Sports Radio 94 WIP. 625 Sports Radio 94 WIP. Joe Giglio with you. Howard Eskin is with us live on location. The King, riding with the King. He's brought to you, as always, by Xfinity Philadelphia's fast internet and the sponsor of our Xfinity X1 Lounge. Howard is down at the Wells Fargo Center. We will do a Trust the Pregame show getting set for Dallas and Philadelphia later on in this hour. Let's go to the phone lines here. Herb in the Northeast. Hey, Herb.
All right, what's up, bro?
How we doing, Herb?
This is what's going on. This coach, okay, what's he been doing for the past 3 or 4 weeks? I want to know.
Okay? Who's Sirianni?
What's he doing? Putting his playbook together?
Howard, what do you think Sirianni's doing the last few weeks?
Listen,
I know exactly
what
the coaches have. Well, if Herb wants to know, the coaches have 3 weeks off, and then they come back and they start preparing. There's no combine, so it's not like the combine would be right now. So, from what I understand, the coaches they don't have much time off. They took a few weeks off, and then they'll come back and start preparing for the draft with the pro days and the different things. And if there's a pro day, I'm sure they will go to it. But for the most part, the coaches have some time off before they prepare for the draft.
We need to know who our starters on the offensive line want to be, okay?
Hey, Herb, I got a question for you. Can I ask you a question?
What?
Can I ask you a question?
Go ahead.
Because I'm just checking. I have a phone or I have a calendar with me. And the season starts, I still believe it starts like the second week of September, right?
Right.
How many months? Do you have good addition? We're in the second month.
I know what you're talking about.
We got about six months.
Yeah. But this coach is a new coach. He's got it. Isn't he supposed to get some kind of, they didn't do it last year because of the COVID. The COVID's almost over, okay?
It's not almost. It's in a better position.
Okay. These coaches, let me tell you something, Howard. All these players, okay, should all be getting shots, first shot, second shot in the NFL. Okay?
No, they shouldn't. They should wait in line like everybody.
I didn't even get my shot.
You should get it before them. You should get it before them.
I'm still waiting, Howard.
Well, Pennsylvania's screwed up.
Offensive line, okay? Now, if the offensive line is healthy to get through, okay, the season, the start in September, whatever, then we don't need to draft this Sargon guy if he's there. It's going to be the three receivers or that tight end. Then we're moving into the second round unless we can move. We need to pick up 3 more draft picks, okay? We need to get another second, another third, a fourth, whatever we can get.
Well, how are we getting those, Herb?
Well, yeah. You guys are talking.
All right, we'll try to figure it out. Let's try to figure it out. Herb, we appreciate it. Go ahead, Howard.
Herb's a beauty. He is just you're a beauty, Herb. You have it all laid out, but you don't have it laid out. We don't know. We got to make sure physically that Lane Johnson's all right.
Getting rid of these players.
I get it.
Everybody's been saying, let's get more fixed.
It's like you, Herb. It's sports. You're a sports talk fan, and we're sports talk radio. But here's the bottom line.
You don't understand, dude.
I know, you're right. I'm clueless.
I can coach, too, Joe. I can coach, too.
I know. Yeah,
okay?
I'm trying to become a one.
Right to your face.
All right, Herb, that's good. Let's see, Howard, next time you talk to Sirianni, get Herb on the staff, all right?
Okay, well, I could do what I did with Levi. Herb, just next time you're on the air, give us your number, and I'll make sure I give it to the coaches. Levi did that one time. I told you about that. Levi was a charm. That's why we're so proud of him as a caller. But let's get back to what the situation is here. The doctors have to still, I'm sure, check and see where Lane Johnson is with his injury. They have to check and see where Brandon Brooks is with his injury. Remember, Jason Kelce, and I get the sense now, he's seriously thinking about coming back, but he's recovering from a bunch of injuries from last year, too. So when you look at all, so is Andre Dillard, and I don't know if Mailata took the job or not, but there's players that, number one, the doctors have to check. You see where they are with their contract situation. I would imagine Brandon Graham is going to have to take a restructured contract because they're not going to pay him what his contract calls for. I just don't think there's any way that they can do that. But there's a lot of things they have to figure out, and they're going to have that figured out before the draft. So, Herb, just relax, will you? R-E-L-A-X.
Herb can't relax. He's opening day's around the corner. It's almost week one, Howard. Relax.
7 months. 7 months away.
Well, you know what, though? That's what we do here. We don't relax. We get all excited for no reason. All right, Howard, let me throw a couple more things here before we get to the Sixers stuff. So, Bryce Harper arrived to spring training. Philly spring training fully underway here. And I heard Bryce today was talking, and it was interesting.
I listened to it.
Yeah, it was interesting, Howard, listening to him, because that back injury he had last year, you know, he came in a day late because he wanted to finish his kind of rehab, what they were doing this offseason. But I just, my eye was raised at the way Girardi talked about it last week, the way Bryce acknowledged today. It's like, I hope that's not a big deal moving forward, because he's got a lot of years left here, Howard, and you watch him swing. He has a very violent swing. I just hope that back holds up on him, because it worried me listening to him.
I started thinking about that, and Tiger comes to mind, not because of the accident, but because he's had so many back surgeries, because the torque on his back was unbelievable with his golf swing. Well, the swing of Bryce Harper, the torque on his back has to be really unbelievable. And the fact, what really surprised me, and there was a little bit of concern when he said yesterday was the first day that he could throw from the outfield without pain. Wow, it took that long? Did you, I don't know, you probably didn't listen to it, but I was watching it when it, you know, I was on the call.
Yeah, I heard it. Yeah, I heard what he said. Like that, and that's why last year, Howard, he couldn't play. He could swing. That's why he DH'd. I didn't know that. Like, we see he missed some games, then he DH'd at the end, but I didn't realize he couldn't throw a baseball last year.
Well, and the question I wanted to ask, and there was so many people, because Bryce Harper doesn't speak that much, because it's not like being there and being in a locker room where you can just go up to his locker when you do normally before the workouts begin. So you're limited because they only put him up so many times. The question I want to ask, with no DH, now baseball goes from 60 games to 162, and he's not the only guy that's affected, from 60 to 162. How many games does he really think that he can play, knowing that he's got to worry about his back and there's no DH, which now doesn't give him the ability to play in games just as a hitter, unless they change that right before the season starts? And I think the DH, that's the last plum they have left for their negotiations after this year. I don't think they're going to give that up. And I don't even know why it's a big deal. Like, that's a big deal for people. But it's a big deal for certain teams. And without the DH, you know, how many games is Bryce Harper going to play?
Well, Howard, I mean, he's played almost every game in his 2 years here. I mean, he's really played a lot. If they get 150, I will take that. If they get 150, I'll sign up for that right now.
Oh, he's not going to get 150. I just can't believe he's going to have 150.
140? 145?
I think 140 to 145. Yeah, I think that's – they got to be careful with him.
Yeah, I agree.
And
I agree.
At the start of the season, here's what you may see, and there's off days, so he has an off day. But if they don't have off days, you know, Joe Girardi might give him a day off here and there early, just to kind of stretch him out, let him, you know, continue with the rehab and get the back even better. I would – you know, I think he's going to play this. Obviously, he's going to play this year. But – I worry that he can't play as many games, especially with no DH. That, to me, is a little bit of an issue.
It is.
You know,
no,
Lawrence McCutcheon. There I go again.
Andrew.
Andrew McCutcheon. Well, his alter ego is Larry, so he's now. So I can call him Lawrence, or I'll call him Larry McCutcheon. You know, how many games is he going to play?
If they get 120 out of him, 125, I'll be happy. Yeah.
Yes. So it's just, so, you know, injuries are a big deal. And pitchers, Aaron Nola, I know they pitched innings when there weren't games. but he always seems to always. The last couple of years, I think he faltered in September.
Yeah, it's almost like he runs out of gas. Yeah.
Yeah, a lot of innings. So, you know, how is that going to work? There's all kinds of things, but, you know, they're not the only team that has to worry about injuries and keeping guys healthy. But coming into camp, now, Noah's not hurt, but, boy, I was just shocked when I heard he couldn't throw a baseball from the outfield until yesterday. Whew. Wow, Bryce Harper couldn't throw. It took that long? It took the whole offseason? Wow. That kind of concerns me a little bit. But he seemed like he was in good spirits, and he seemed like he's going to be okay. So you never know, especially when he starts really swinging. You know, batting practice, he's taking some good rips, but he's not taking them like he takes them in a game. So, you know, it's about launch angle and exit velocity.
That's it. That's what it's all about. All right, Howard, let me ask this. Yesterday, John Heyman threw out that the Phillies had some contact with Jake Odorizzi, probably the best pitcher still available in free agency. He's pretty good, Howard. Have you heard anything there? Do you think they're done? I mean, we're in spring training, but we've seen this now. There's still free agents available, and you know, Bryce signed into spring training. So this happens sometimes. Do you think the Phillies are done, or do you think they might add more?
Yeah, I think they might add more, but I think they like the fact that if a pitcher doesn't work out for him, they can get rid of him, but they can't do it in this case. You know, some of these other contracts, if they don't make the team, they don't get their money. Some of the other pitchers they signed. First of all, they're not doing their job if they don't at least investigate the possibility. To say that they're discussing the possibility with his agent, well, they should. That's what they do. I would think because they've spent so much money, and that's not going to be a one-year contract. That's got to be, what, 2 or 3 years?
I would think so. And I don't think it's cheap. I mean, I would think he's going to cost at least $10 million a season.
Yeah, that's where I kind of wonder. They really spent John Middleton got caught in the middle, and he's spending above what he really wanted to spend right now. So I don't know. I would say it's probably less than 50%, just based on the numbers and what they'd have to do and where they are. You got to leave some money for next year. It's just, and there'll be some money that comes off the books next year. Luckily that Jake Arrieta didn't scam him into another year.
No, he scammed the Cubs out of $6 million last week. You see that? He went to Chicago. He went back to Chicago.
He says that's where he should. You know that's where he feels that's where he should have been.
Sure.
Give me a break. You'll go wherever they'll pay you. I can't believe. Remember when Scott Boras whined and complained about teams not giving him his $200 million contract?
Yeah, he wanted $200 million. Imagine if he was still here for years at a lot of money. We'd be losing our minds.
Oh my gosh, losing our minds. It'd be more than that. So they'd be jumping off bridges. I don't think the Phillies are done. But I don't think for a big ticket guy. I wonder whether they're really going to go down that road. Because in the end, you got to look at it. Okay, if they sign him, are they still, they're better off, but are they better than Atlanta or the Mets?
I don't
or
think
even
so.
Washington?
Maybe they get even with Washington. Maybe that kind of move gets them to, you know, right there with Washington. But I still don't think they're not as good as the Braves. And the Mets look good. I mean, this division, I know Bryce talked about it today. This division is by far the best in baseball. It's really good.
Yeah. That's what he said, and I agree with that. It's, you believe that, it's the best in base. And Miami's no slouch because they have good young pitchers, and the Phillies never beat them anyway. So they should be better than Miami, but they weren't last year. So the two teams, at least the two teams from the West are going to make it. And then I don't know about the Central. Outside of St. Louis, who's always good, I just don't know if Milwaukee is going to be good enough. But Cincinnati, I always wonder about Cincinnati because they have some really good young players and they should have been better than they were last year. So, no, I don't know that one pitcher changes it for the Phillies. It gives them a better chance, but I don't know if it changes it.
Yeah, well, their over-under is 81.5, so they've got work to do here. 215-592-9494. We'll come back, a Trust the Pregame show. We'll talk some Sixers here, including a trade rumor that I need Howard's opinion on. Sixers Mavericks coming up. We will talk about it. Howard is live at the Wells Fargo Center. to watch his boy Luka play tonight. So we'll talk some Sixers coming up right here on
Star.
Your star, your favorite star, right here on Sports Radio 94 WIP. 6:45 Sports Radio 94 WIP. Joe Giglio with you, riding with the King here, as always, brought to you by Xfinity Philadelphia's fast internet and the sponsor of our Xfinity X1 Lounge. And Howard is down there tonight for the game Sixers and the Mavericks. It is the Trust the Pregame Show delivered to you by PGW. PGW delivering safe, reliable energy to Philadelphia for more than 180 years. PGW energy for all of us. Visit pgworks.com for details. So we got a game tonight, Howard. We have the Sixers, I believe, 4.5-point favorites at home against Dallas and your guy Luka. What are you thinking here tonight?
That number is a little, doesn't it seem a little cheap to you?
Yeah, and no Porzingis tonight, which is interesting. He's not playing tonight.
Yeah, he's been a disappointment.
He has.
I think he's a really good player, but he's got to stay healthy, and he always seems like he's hurt. Hey, if Luka had players around him, that team would be really good. When the Sixers, they played him in Dallas. Did the Sixers play him in Dallas already? Did they win that game? Have they played him in Dallas yet?
I'm trying to think if they played him this year. If they have, I missed that. I'm trying to think. Tucker, have they played this year yet? Dallas and the Sixers? No, not yet this year. I'm thinking of last year's game, Howard. They haven't played yet this season.
So I didn't see the second half of the schedule. How about the Sixers get a break? They only play Milwaukee twice this year, if I read that schedule right.
I think it's three times. I think once here and then back to back in Milwaukee.
Oh, okay. All right.
So they get them a few times.
But yeah, I just don't know why it's only five. Maybe now that they figure teams know how to play the Sixers, you just double Embiid. That's what you're going to do.
Well, that's what the Raptors did two nights in a row.
Yeah, and I told you, he really turns the ball over too much. He doesn't handle the ball. He had six turnovers the other night. So when you do that, you create turnovers. That's why Jokic is more of an MVP candidate, because he doesn't turn the ball over. He averages right around 10 assists, and he doesn't turn the ball over, and he rebounds, and he scores. Joel's got to be better at handling the ball. And if teams are going to start doing, and Rick Carlisle is a terrific head coach, I mean, he sees the other things. They have people that can double and just force the other guys to shoot. So I think it's going to be a really tight game, and I think Luka's good for about 30 points tonight. I wonder if they put – it doesn't seem like they put Ben on the best offensive guard for the other team, and Luka's considered a guard. I don't know why that's the case. It doesn't seem like that happens a lot. But I don't – who knows, they put Ben on other people. But Luka's probably good for 25 to 30 points tonight. I think it's going to be a really close game.
Yeah, I do too. Howard, what do you make of the latest trade rumor here? So the Sixers are – about 3 weeks away from the NBA trade deadline. We know Daryl Morey is going to do something. They're not going to leave the team as is. They need more help. They're going to try to make a run to the finals. And the big name right now connected to the Sixers is Kyle Lowry. Howard, I love the idea of bringing Kyle Lowry back. He's on the final year of his contract. He's obviously older now. He's 34, but he can still play. Like, Kyle Lowry is still a good NBA player, and I think he would give them something they're missing. Like, they don't have anyone that can really get, on his dribble, get to the basket, and late in games, make a shot. Like, they don't really have that guy. They have Joel, but if Joel's double-teamed, who do you trust? And Lowry, I mean, he's won a title. He's been a good player for a long time. I like this idea.
Well, do you think, and I know what my answer is, that Lowry would be the best shooter on this team?
He'd be the best guy that I'd want the ball in his hand. I mean, Curry's a better shooter.
Yeah,
I mean, Curry's a better three-point shooter.
He's very inconsistent.
Yeah.
And he's still, his career, he's like a 30% three-point shooter. Yeah, I don't know what Lowry is for his career. Yeah, but Kyle Lowry is a great guy. I stay in touch with him every once in a while just to see how he's doing. I didn't ask him about this because, he probably doesn't know what's going on. He's already said somewhere publicly that he'd like to come back here. Well, why wouldn't he like to come back here? I remember when he came out of Villanova. And even Jay Wright, I talked to Jay Wright about it. Nobody at Villanova thought he was ready. His agent convinced him to come out that he was. And at the time, it seemed to be a mistake. He's turned into a very, very good NBA player. But I would like to see him come here. They've got to do something.
They have to.
And Daryl Morey, between the times he's on Twitter and Instagram and doing all that nonsense, he does other things, and he's got to see that they need somebody else. Now, the problem is it's going to have to be some kind of draft pick, and you're not going to get him for less than a number one draft pick, and your number one shouldn't be that bad, but you're going to have to give that up. And I don't know what player. I don't want to hear about Danny Green and all these other. They have nobody that's as good that they would give up as Kyle Lowry. So they're going to have to be a draft pick involved. It'd be interesting to see what they'd be willing to give up. But draft picks are irrelevant, considering if they think they're going to be a good team, then what's a draft pick going to be? It's going to be in the late first round, which are, it's really just flipping a coin and you're getting lucky there anyway. So, yeah, I would make the trade. The trade I wanted was Harden, but obviously we can't go back to that. Ugh, boy, can you imagine Harden on this team instead of
They'd be the
Benjamin?
Favorite, Howard. If they had Harden and Joel right now, they would be the favorite to win the whole thing.
When you said the other night that Benjamin, because he's got three All-Star, well, he shouldn't have been an All-Star last year. So those All-Star things, it's a bogus kind of vote. You shouldn't determine a Hall of Famer by that. What Hall of Famer? I was trying to think of a guy in the Hall of Fame that doesn't shoot from beyond 6 or 7 feet.
You're not going to find one. Listen, I'm not happy about the idea that Ben's on his way to the Hall of Fame, but I'm just telling you, he's on the path to the Hall of Fame. If he gets 8 or 9 All-Star appearances, he's going to make it in. It's the easiest Hall of Fame to make is basketball. They all make the Hall of Fame.
He's going to have to buy a ticket to get in there.
You have to introduce him. That's what I want. I want you to introduce him before he gets up there for his speech.
Oh, yeah. I've been there. It's a quaint little place.
Yeah, I've been there, too. It's a fun little place. Yep.
Yeah.
Springfield.
It's a fun place. Right. I went up there a couple of times, and when Barkley went in, we had a blast. That was a blast. And I flew home that night on a private plane after the ceremony, about 12:45 in the morning. I'll tell you who was on the plane. It was myself, Jay Wright, I forget who else. I got a plane to take us up and take us back. So that was a fun time for me. But to see Charles go in was great. By the way, another guy that should have made the All-Star team besides Trae Young, it's a bonus for Indiana. You know, he's the only guy in NBA history that's got 25-5 average up until before an All-Star game. The only guy in history. In NBA history.
To not make an All-Star game with those numbers, you're saying?
To not, yeah. With those numbers. Yep.
That's pretty incredible. That is, I mean, those numbers are, I mean, that's an easy trip to the All-Star game, usually.
Well, and he got screwed, too.
Your boy Benjamin made it. Someone got to have an extra sixer.
Well, no, you don't have to have it. Philadelphia gets all that extra pub. Indiana doesn't get pub. Atlanta doesn't get pub. The All-Star game is built for a guy like Trae Young. Boy, those fans want to see him shoot from 40 feet. That is great.
You don't want to watch Ben get a rebound and pass the ball?
No, I don't. I don't want to see him in the All-Star game because he doesn't do anything special in an All-Star game. The shooters are what make it, and there's some really good shooters. You know what I want to see one year? This is my wish. Before Benjamin retires, I want to see him participate in the three-point shooting contest.
You know what? Actually, I do too. I think we all. I want to watch it, but I think we got to cut it off halfway. It would be too hard to watch.
Well,
too difficult.
No, we bet if he hits the rim, it counts as making a shot. He's just got to hit the rim.
Over under. If he participated in a three-point contest, would he hit more? 4.5. I'll set it at 4.5 made threes.
I would take the under.
He's a professional basketball player shooting against air. He'd have to make some.
You have to shoot it quick. I would take the under.
Wow.
That means he's got to make 5.
I know. There are about 5 on each rack, I think. 5 or 6 balls on each rack.
I'll tell you a competition. And a friend of mine plays golf with Larry Bird once a week. I'm going to have him ask Bird. And if I ever get down to Florida, because Bird lives in Florida now, and I'll play golf with him, the question I got to put to him, would you participate in a three-point shooting contest now in your life against Ben Simmons, and who would win?
I'll take Larry Bird. Yeah, Larry Bird on one leg would win that one.
Yeah, exactly right. Oh, my gosh. It's just – but, no, I – yeah, it's – He's not a Hall of Famer. Come on now. He's not a Hall of Famer.
No, he's not a Hall of Famer. Now, my point is he's on that path, Howard. That's how it starts. You make three or four All-Star games before you're 25 years old, you're on your way.
Yeah, but you got to look at how he made the All-Star game. It's ridiculous. It is ridiculous. You know, he's got to start shooting. Otherwise, they're dead. Otherwise, they'll double-team Joel from now until forever.
Oh, they will. That's why they need more shooting. There's no doubt about it. Howard, listen, you enjoy the game. When was the last time you were at a game?
The last homestand, I went to one of the games.
Okay.
I usually come to one at home. Now they're playing four straight games before the bogus All-Star game. But I might come to another one because next week they play Utah, and they're going to play the rookie of the year Ben got it, in Donovan Mitchell. How about Ben gets all these awards and he doesn't even deserve them?
Well, he gets them. All right, Howard, listen, enjoy the game. We'll talk soon, all right?
All right. Hey, everybody, and you too, you be safe. And it's Thursday, right? So I'll talk to people on Saturday.
Sounds great. All right, there he goes. Howard Eskin live at the Wells Fargo Center to see his boy, Luca. 215-592-9494. That is how you hop aboard right here on Sports Radio 94 WIP.